Good morning, and welcome to the Cyber Smart Morning News Update. With the always evolving world of cyber threats and defense, you need a source you can trust. FBI retired Special Agent Darren Mott guides you through today's intricate cyber landscape and brings you the latest headlines and insights and what it means to you. Let's dive into today's cyber news.
Good morning, friends. It is Wednesday, April 24th, 2024. This is the Cyber Smart Morning News Update. I'm your host, retired FBI Supervisory Special Agent Darren Mott. I got six articles to take a quick look at this morning or afternoon or evening, whenever you're listening. And as always, thank you so much for taking the time to download, listen, and pass along the information that you may find in this podcast. As always, all articles listed in this podcast will be available in the show notes for you to go review at your leisure should you choose to do so. First one from theregister.com, Paul Knert reporting, United Health admits IT security breach could cover a substantial portion of people in America. This is not a good headline that you want to see. United Healthcare Group, the parent of ransomware struck Change Healthcare, delivered some very unwelcome news for customers today, which was Tuesday yesterday, as it continues to recover from the massively expensive side and disruptive digital break-in. In a very roundabout way, the corporate giant says network intruders may have accessed internal health-related data associated with a very large number of people in the United States. Based on the initial targeted data sampling to date, the company has found files containing protected health information and personally identifiable information, which could cover a substantial portion of people in America. To date, the company has not seen evidence of exfiltration of materials such as doctor's charts or full medical histories among the data. The ransomware attack, which began in February, hit hospital and pharmacies that use the insurance and billing services of United Health across the U.S. for weeks. Electronic prescriptions came back online in early March. The exact number of people affected, those who may have had their info accessed by the ransomware extortionist, was not mentioned. Given the ongoing nature and complexity of the data review, the insurance giant estimates it will likely take third-party experts several months continued analysis to comb through enough information to identify and notify impacted customers and individuals. An affiliate of AlphaV claimed responsibility for the breach. According to a report in the Wall Street Journal yesterday, the criminal crew got into Change Healthcare's network via pilfered credentials for a tech system that promotes remote access to the network. The criminal gang spent more than a week inside until they unleashed the ransomware and stole data from the systems. And I'll have more on that in the next article. So, you know, this is bad. You have to, so now we all, because we don't know, you don't know, who knows if you're one of the victims of this? Probably you are. The last line on this does say the cost of the saga to the organization is pegged at about $870 million for calendar quarter one, could stretch to $1.6 billion for the year, United Healthcare confirmed last week. That is a very expensive data breach, and they probably could have spent a very small fraction of that to do better cybersecurity to save it, but I digress. So on, as we continue with this note, the next article is from CSO Online, authentication failure blamed for Change Healthcare ransomware attack. Absence of adequate remote access authentication, otherwise multi-factor authentication, has emerged as the probable cause of the infamous Change Healthcare ransomware attack. Attackers compromised credentials on the application, on an application that allows staff to remotely access systems before infiltrating Change Healthcare's networks on or around February 12th. An unnamed person familiar with the ongoing investigation told the Wall Street Journal. Here's the key line. Multi-factor authentication controls were absent on this application, contrary to industry best practices, leaking the vulnerable application exposed. So you can see more of this article if you're so inclined. It's just going to go a little bit more into that. But the key here is this is a very simple thing that would have prevented this whole thing from happening, is just forcing users to use multi-factor authentication. Now, the problem you get into is when you want to enforce and enable multi-factor authentication, you have a cadre of people within an organization that says, well, it's too, makes it too hard. I don't know how to use it. It's very troublesome. I can't keep track of the passwords. How do I get the text code? I don't know how to use Duo, whatever the multi-factor application is. This particular data breach, if nothing else, should prove to any outstanding organizations not currently using multi-factor authentication that they need to do so. The problem is, there's not enough people listening to this podcast or other podcasts like it. They're going to hear this. They're going to say, ooh, that's probably something we should do. Let's do that right away. Because no one asks. Because everybody wants there just to be an easy button where I can just put a box on my network. I can click a button and everything's protected. That does not exist. It takes, the easy button is a host of different things that, again, are not overly difficult, yet people don't want to take the time to do even the simple things. So with that being said, this is kind of where we're going with Change Healthcare. I highly recommend you pay attention to your financial information, to your healthcare information, look for fraud attacks, because this is where this is going to go. I would anticipate a pretty significant class action lawsuit coming out of all this at the end of the day. But again, for a fraction of what you are now paying, what Change Healthcare is now paying for this, they could have had better security, yet they probably figured they didn't have anything anyone would want. Well, I doubt they figured that, but for some reason, they didn't think they were coming for them. But here we are. Darkreading.com, Elizabeth Montebano reporting. Russian fancy bear pummels Windows print spooler bug. A well-known Russian advanced persistent threat group has been using a custom tool to exploit a bug that's been around for several years in the Windows print spooler service to elevate privileges and steal credentials in numerous intelligence gathering attacks across the globe. It also appears to be paving the way for further attacks. Fancy Bear, which we've talked about, all we talk about all the time, they're very active, is linked to the Russian General Staff Main Intelligence Directorate, GRU. It has been using a tool called Goose Egg since at least June 2020 and possibly as early as April 2019. To exploit CVE-2022-38028 vulnerability in Windows print spooler. Now, is there a patch for this? Yeah, Microsoft patched the flaw, which allows an attacker who successfully exploits it to gain system privileges in October 2022. Now, there's a reason that Fancy Bear is using this tool effectively, because people don't patch appropriately. And that is really the problem. I'm not going to read more of this article. I mean, it goes into a little more detail, but you have to understand that nation state actors, even more so than criminal actors, and this is what Fancy Bear is, the nation state that are so affiliated with Russian intelligence, is looking for these kind of lazy cybersecurity policies and practices to get what they want. And I guarantee you that there are government entities that have not done this and are being targeted by this and having great impact simply because even the government doesn't do it right. And here's the sad thing, right? Is there is a patch for this has been around for almost 2 years. And clearly, there are not enough devices patched with it to make it capable. So all these Windows devices continue to be vulnerable from a simple patch that is probably part of the Windows update. I would guess. If it's part of the Windows print spooler, should be part of a standard patch update. But again, it is continuing on because it works. That is why bad guys find the good exploits that they use and they continue to use it until no longer effective. But again, I say the same things over and over again. Cyberscoop.com. This is a Hey, How About That file story. Iranian nationals charged with hacking U.S. companies, Treasury and State Departments. Okay. This is AJ Vicens reporting. The U.S. government on Tuesday took sweeping action against four Iranian nationals, accusing them of participating in hacking operations that targeted the U.S. Treasury and State Departments, defense contractors, and two New York-based companies on behalf of the Iranian Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, or IRGC. All four were indicted and charged with conspiracy to commit computer fraud, conspiracy to commit wire fraud, and wire fraud. They each face up to 5 years in prison for the computer fraud conspiracy charge and up to 20 years in prison for each of the count of wire fraud and conspiracy to commit wire fraud, the U.S. Department of Justice said in a statement. The four were also sanctioned by the Treasury Department, and the State Department is offering a reward up to $10 million and possible relocation for any information on three of the men or the companies with whom they're associated. The accused defendants, should you know them, are Hossein Haroni, Reza Kazemfir, Kamil Baradaran Salamani, and Ilariza Shafif Nasab. The men have various connections to a pair of IRGC front companies, which were used to carry out various aspects of the attack, according to the Treasury Department. It does say Haroni was additionally charged with damaging a protected computer, which is any computer, whatever, it doesn't matter. Silly. It's a silly charge. The indictment against Nasab was previously unsealed. Whatever. The point being here, okay, yeah, they charged four people. It'll make a little bit of news here and there. A couple news entities will talk about, ooh, we just charged a bunch of Iranians. These guys are in Iran. They're not coming out of Iran. They're not going to travel to a country that has red notices that can allow us to arrest them. They are never going to go to trial. I mean, again, it's something that the government needs to do on these things, but let's not pretend that this is some great win for law enforcement, because again, no one's going to, people identified. Good. Yes. Thumbs up. People identified. Here's what would be better for me. What were they doing and how were they doing it? In other words, if they got into the State Department and the Treasury Department, which I assuming were the targets, how'd they get in? What was the methodology for that allowed them access? How about releasing that in addition to this? And maybe it's in the affidavit. I don't know. I haven't looked at the affidavit, but I'm going to guess probably some of that's redacted, but that's what we want. That's what we should give. Securityaffairs.com, Paralugi Paganini reporting, hackers threatened to leak a copy of the World Check database used to assess potential risks associated with entities. A financially motivated group called GoStar claims a theft of sensitive database from WorldCheck and threatens to publish it. WorldCheck is a global database utilized by various organizations, including financial institutions, regulatory bodies, and law enforcement agencies, for assessing potential risks associated with individuals and entities. It compiles information from diverse sources like public records, regulatory filings, proprietary databases to create profiles of entities susceptible to cybercrime, terrorism, or corruption. WorldCheck is currently owned by LSEG, which is the London Stock Exchange Group. That's interesting. A financially motivated threat actor called GoStar announced the theft of the confidential database containing 5.3 million records from the WorldCheck. Ideally, they will say who those are. I mean, if you're one of those 5.3, I think you'd like to know that your stuff has been stolen. So at this point, if you don't know, assume you are, and look and secure stuff. But this is not the first time this particular entity has been targeted. This is probably old data. In June 2016, security researcher Chris Vickery found a copy of the WorldCheck database dated 2014 that was accidentally left exposed online. In August 2015, journalists from BBC's radio gained 30 minutes of access thanks to support of a disgruntled customer and demonstrated that the designations in the archive were inaccurate. Okay, so this is not exactly the most cybersecure organization in the world. And maybe the entities that utilize it might want to move elsewhere and find something else to use, because these guys clearly suck at security and don't really care about it. So hopefully they go out of business at some point, but we will see. InfoSecurityMagazine.com, James Coker, vulnerability exploitation on the rise as attackers ditch phishing. And I found this article, the headline, interesting because we always talk about, at least I always talk about, phishing being the main way that bad guys get into systems. This article is indicating that they're moving away from that. In a move away from traditional phishing scams, attackers are increasingly exploiting vulnerabilities in computer systems to gain initial network access, according to Mandiant's M-Trends 2024 report. In 2023, attackers gained initial access through exploiting vulnerabilities in 38% of intrusions, a 6% increase from the previous year. Mandiant also found phishing's prevalence declined from 22% of intrusions in 2022 to 17% in 2023. However, it was still the second most common initial access vector assessed by Mandiant. Researchers observed 97 unique zero-day vulnerabilities exploited in the wild in 2023, which was up 56% compared to 2022. Not surprisingly, Chinese cyber espionage groups were the most prolific attackers to exploit zero days, as Russian would probably be number two, primarily for the purpose of intelligence gathering and strategic advantage. Vulnerabilities that are unknown to software vendors can provide long-term access to systems and sensitive data. That is why these entities, the Russians, the Chinese, the Iranians, more so than criminal actors, are finding the zero days, they're discovering themselves, and then they hold it for as long as they can. It does say in the article, the most frequently targeted vulnerability observed by Mandiant in 2023 was associated with the MOVEit transfer vulnerability. Not surprisingly, this was followed by a critical unauthenticated file upload vulnerability in Oracle's e-business suite. So I think this is probably a methodology we will see going forward. But it does, an interesting part of this article says ransomware drives down dwell time, which is interesting. Attacker dwell time, the period from compromise to detection, fell to just 10 days in 2023 from 16 in 2022. Now, I'm not sure how they do that, measure that, because state actors are in there for hundreds of days. So I'd love to see the methodology for how they figure out the dwell time, honestly. And if it's just ransomware, obviously ransomware is going to be shorter, so that's going to drive all that much farther down. But I would argue that state-sponsored actors, especially the APTs, are in there a lot longer. Now, here's an interesting part of this also. Mandiant revealed that it tracks more than 4,000 threat groups, 719 of which were newly tracked in 2023. That's a lot of threat groups. So I recommend you find this article if you're in the cybersecurity world and you read it. There's good, Mandiant always has good information. You should subscribe to a, whenever they send reports, that you should get them automatically because they are very valuable. That's going to do it for the news for today. There's plenty of other news, but these were kind of the six things that were of interest to me. I hope they're of interest to you. As you go through your day, know that knowledge is protection. If we can understand the threats targeting us, we can assess our risk, proceed wisely. Thanks again for listening, for downloading, for sharing. Have a great rest of your Wednesday, and we will talk again on Friday.
CyberSmart Morning News is written and produced by CyberGuy Productions. Feel free to email thoughts, comments, or suggestions to Darren at thecyberguy.com or follow Darren on LinkedIn at linkedin.com/in/DarrettMott. Thanks for listening.